Anybody else, Mace, other than Kershaw on that list? It's just him, right?
Yeah, I think Kershaw's the one guy. I can't imagine him in another uniform. Aaron Donald, I think, is unlikely, too. Since he came close to retiring or was at a negotiating ploy, all that stuff, I think he's the other guy that likely is to finish his career
Steelers
here in L.A.
Come in heavy, his hometown, and say, hey, listen, one more year for $30 million, what do you say?
End of the career one more time, totally possible.
John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, John is there. What are you doing?
I am going to a, believe it or not, I'm going to a comedy show tonight for the first time post-pandemic,
awesome.
And I wasn't going to be able to make it if I left from the studio.
Who are you seeing?
I have no idea. It's one of those, we're going to the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa.
Okay.
For somebody's birthday, and it's like eight different comedians, but it starts early, so we're heading over there after the show.
Are you a live comedy guy, Mace?
Yeah, love it.
I love comics. I think I used to run with comics when I lived in New York because my broadcast partner, Sue Kalinske, was a comic. So I hung out with a lot of comics, especially at a place called Caroline's in Times Square.
Oh, yeah, very famous.
Back Room, and Daryl Hammond would be there.
No kidding.
And yeah, I mean, a lot of comics back in the Back Room. And I always thought, really interesting people. Not as tortured as you would think. Not every comic is
so
tortured.
So it's funny you say that. My experience, and I've only been in the company of them to get to know them personally.
Yes.
With two and a half. Like one, I kind of, all pretty dark souls. Like,
yeah,
and that's what makes
them
funny.
Although,
right? That's where it comes from.
Jerry Seinfeld, the most upbeat guy, yeah, on and off. I mean, you don't have to be a tortured soul to be a comedian, although a lot of people are.
Yeah. I don't go enough to those shows. I mean, there's probably so many good comedy shows just in L.A. on a weekly, monthly basis. It kind of gets lost. I don't know why I don't go out to more
it's
of them,
a, it's,
especially
it,
in Pasadena.
Fantastic.
It's a fun night. It's a really fun night.
John, are you going to bring that scale in on like a regular basis? Is this going to be a source of motivation for me?
No, it was just a one, unless you want me to.
Well, I here's the thing. I'm kind of struggling because I didn't hate the number I hit.
He was happy with it.
Oh, really? You were happy with that number?
I mean, not happy, but here was my range of emotions yesterday. When John asked me, what do you weigh? And I had that moment where, okay, I got to go close to what I think it might be, but it could be a little bit higher than this.
Yes.
And I guessed 260-something, and it was 264.
It was, yeah.
Okay?
You were right on it.
Had it been 270-something, it wouldn't have made me fall down in surprise. Had it been 280-something,
still in the ballpark,
wouldn't have made me fall down in surprise. That I got in close enough to 250-something makes me feel oddly good about myself.
Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad.
Do you eat late?
I usually eat dinner about 8.
Okay.
That's kind
of
late.
I eat late-ish, yeah. Because you got to wait till you go to bed. Right? You got to wait for bedtime before you actually eat dinner. So that's when I sort of lay down and
now, Mace,
put on the game.
Now, Mace, if you're hungry at 5, will you get in bed at 5?
You know, can I be honest with you? Yes, I will.
Really?
I love eating in bed. It's like one of my favorite things. It is such a luxurious experience to eat in bed.
He's a
like
king.
Room service, don't you, on the very first night when you check into a hotel, say, room service.
He's a king.
Okay, but see, okay, this is a good point. I love pro room service.
Yes.
Love it.
It's the best.
They come in, they got the little cloche on the top. It's a wonderfully decadent
What's
experience.
What's that called, a cloche?
A cloche.
Oh, interesting.
Yes, that's called
I never
a
knew
cloche.
What that was called.
Yes. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
They bring in the cart. Right?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
All,
it's
close. Yeah, cloche.
A cloche is like
Mace,
that.
Isn't that the closer for the Indians?
Oh, yeah, that was classe.
Classe.
You're very close. That's a cloche.
You're cloche with cloche. Yes, that's how
and
it
actually,
is.
Actually, I have to get used to this. I should say guardians.
Yes,
yeah,
the
that's
guardians.
Right. That's right.
But the idea of putting that meal on the bed in a hotel.
You get a towel from the bathroom. You spread out the towel on the bed, then you put the plates on the towel, and you just
tell me more,
John. You've spent more time in hotels than any of us with your time on the road.
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten a room service meal off the bed?
No.
Yeah. Oh God!
I go to the desk, or in most of the hotels we stay in, they roll in a table,
little table.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, and you sit at the little wheelie table. I do not sit at the little wheelie table.
I've done that.
I want to eat in bed. I want to eat in the comfort of my own bed.
That's the problem. It's not your bed.
When I went to Terranea for my birthday, Lisa ordered breakfast in bed, and we did that in the bed. And that was a good day for me. I watched the British Open and ate breakfast in bed.
That's nice. Yeah.
Normally, I go to the table.
I was asking the late night because, what was it, two nights ago you went to In-N-Out?
Yeah.
What time?
I got the food in the car a little bit before 9, like 8:45.
Yeah, but that's late for him.
Yeah, that's late.
Like 2 hours past my normal time.
Yeah, that's late.
But he didn't.
Well, didn't stop me.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I still got it in.
When you go to In-N-Out, do you wait till you get home or do you eat it?
I eat fries on my way home.
Yep. Okay, so he's doing the side
and then eat the burger when I get home.
John, what about you? Are you in the car? Are you disciplined enough to wait?
Oh, I wait.
You don't even eat the fries?
Maybe the fries.
Yeah, the fries.
See, I get the little second hamburger. Like, not another double-double, but just a little something for the ride home.
He gets what the family doesn't know that he got.
Yeah. Right.
And he eats it, and then when he gets home, he's all calm, cool, and collective, and they're like, wow, look at him.
Look at him. All he's eating is that small fries.
That's why he only weighs 264 pounds.
All he's having is one of those little burgers.
I was actually proud of you guys that when I asked you, I thought the bit was going to be, I would ask you what your weight is, you would all shoot low, and then I would embarrass you by getting on the scale. But you were all very honest.
Yeah.
Oh, no, Mace, you said I'm 215, and I think when we took off your shoes, you were 214.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. It's true. Yeah.
Should have taken my shoes
off. I had
off.
A good night last night.
259.
By the way, I
wanted to weigh in like a UFC fight. I wanted to take everything off. I wanted to use the restroom.
those little boy shorts that you're coming in. You should do that.
I wanted a real weigh-in.
Where are those tomorrow?
So I told Juan about the whole scale fat guy, because it turned into a big conversation. Mason's fat, all that stuff. He said, you're not fat. You just dress like a slob. And I do. Now, isn't that.
That's actually a very accurate statement.
That kind of does play a role in me looking fatter than
appearance
I am.
Appearance-wise, the shirts. And
the shirts. I wear a hoodie in here because it gets cold. I mean. That's
You're not fat, but you definitely dress like a slob.
Yeah, I do dress like a slob.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No, I think in the past, Jim Lampley said I dress like an unmade bed.
right.
Colin Coward said I dress like a flood victim.
that's better.
That's a really good line.
Colin's ahead of lamps right now.
Yeah, you're moving up. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that is part of
it. Do you ever, short of like a Mandy situation, tighten it up a little bit?
No, I don't. In fact, you know.
Mace, when's the last time you had a tie on?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think. I didn't wear a tie to Lindsay Theory's. It's probably been since I did the sports at Channel 11. Remember, I told you I was going to get rid of all my ties. They all went to Goodwill. I don't have a tie if I need one.
Yeah. So pre-pandemic. Probably
pre-pandemic.
2020 for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Mandy's, you came.
Oh, I was silent.
You were
bow
ready.
Tie, right?
Yeah, I had a bow tie and the
ready.
Oh, that
the very silver
yeah,
jacket.
Sure does.
Yeah,
oh,
no, that does
yeah.
count. You're right.
Yeah.
Even though it was one of the, I didn't tie.
You don't have to look
tie.
Like you're going to work at IBM. It still counts.
But, okay, can we have a moment of honesty? No one here knows how to tie a bow tie if they needed to.
No.
Anybody who says, well, is it a clip-on? Anybody who wears bow ties as infrequently as we do is using a clip-on. All right? That's it.
Have you tried to tie one?
A bow tie?
Yes.
Yeah, I failed miserably.
It's impossible.
I took it to my dad.
I don't think I've ever even tried.
Don't you have to let somebody else do it for you?
So here's the that is better. So my sons, when they do proms and things like that, they like bow ties,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And so they're like, Dad, do you know how to do it? I'm like, no, but I can watch a YouTube video. I could probably figure it out. I could quasi tie it around my own neck.
Yeah.
Trying to tie it around someone else's neck. It's like trying to do it left-handed. It's impossible. You're 100% right. Every bow tie that has been made post like 1936 has to be a clip-on.
Yeah, Mace, you do not need to apologize for not tying a bow tie.
Okay, good.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
I
would have had no chance whatsoever.
If you guys win the lotto, I know you guys mentioned this yesterday.
All right, $1.2 billion. $1.2 billion.
Trav said he would never talk to anybody that he currently knows at the station ever again.
What an ass.
Well, no, it wasn't just the station.
Good thing, or is that such a jerk thing?
Look, that's not what it was.
You would just ignore all of us forever?
Yes. I what I would do is, I said to him, I would get a new phone number.
Yep.
I would move away.
Yeah.
And I would very strategically dole out that new number.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's not just
who are you, like O'Shea Jackson Jr.?
That's
O'Shea changes
life,
his number like every couple of weeks.
My children would have it.
Trav, I applaud your honesty.
My children would have it. My wife would have it. My mom, my dad would have it. My brother would have it. Now we're getting down to a very select few after that.
See,
all right, so here's who would have it if I won it.
Okay.
I'd give it to Mason. I would.
You'd give it to Michael.
Yeah, I'd give it to Michael. Slee, I'd give it to you for Lakers stuff. And Trav, I'd give it to everybody on the air right now, I'd give it to.
Nice.
Now, that's nice.
That may stop after that.
See, I swear, if I won the $1.2 billion, I would be at work the next day.
Really?
Yeah. At least to brag about it.
I was going
to
say,
hey, I got
guess what happened to me?
To have the microphone for 3 hours and tell everyone that you just won $1.2 billion, that sounds pretty damn good.
It makes you sound very relatable.
And by the way, the day you did that, Mace, anybody who has your number that's in the financial services business, calling you going, hey, man, how about throwing me a bone?
Really
here?
Protect some of that money. So here's the thing, though.
It's all going into crypto.
The best part about it would be the money, right?
Yes, that would be the best part.
The next best part, to your point about coming into work the next day, you officially give zero you-know-what to
him. Oh, yeah.
You don't have to play any of the stuff. Oh. That would be, what's the word I want? Liberating, right?
Yes.
That would be incredibly liberating, not just on the air, but just to live your life with you know what your problem is, don't you, Slee? Just to be able to let it rip for the rest of your life.
Well, you know, I used to work with Tom Snyder, and Tom would always say to me, you got a little money, kid? I said, yeah. I got a little money. He goes, yeah, what you really need is FU money. What you really need is FU money. And FU money is like great money. Like, that's what you're talking about. 1.2 is like FU money, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to answer to anybody. Nothing. But I still think it would be fun to come to work.
You need something
every day.
To do every day? I don't know if it needs to be work, though.
Seriously, is this really work?
No, it's
is
not.
This is not really work.
It's not, but it's also one of those things that I do have to be here every day.
Yeah, true.
Right? That I have my schedule, like we all do. It would be nice. To just kind of like it today to have your schedule, Mace.
Oh,
to just kind of periodically show up.
I proposed a 1 hour podcast every other week. He said maybe
that's more work than traveling.
He said maybe quarterly.
John, there's a lot of there's a lot of golf courses I haven't tried yet.
Amen.
Boy, you will get to all of them.
I would get to, I'd get to a lot of them.
Yeah,
and I'd you know maybe I'd call you. I'd call John. I'd use a number blocker. But I
private number.
John.
Unknown number.
I would say I would have Slee call him and say, hey, you're going to get a private number that's calling you at 2:30. Pick it up. It's Trav. And I'd say, John, I'll send the NetJet for you. I'll meet you at Cypress Point, and we'll play a little bit.
Do you guys have any problems? Speaking of the NetJet, they were on Kylie Jenner last week, and now they're on Drake.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
He has a jet.
Okay.
Air Drake. Okay, the jet has apparently been taking a lot of 15-minute flights, like just kind of bouncing around Canada so he doesn't have to deal with the traffic. I have no issue with that. They're moving planes all the time. They move planes from L.A. to Orange County to Ontario. Those are all short flights. All these people, all these environmentalists that say, no, you can't take a 14-minute flight. Are they never getting on planes?
Not 14-minute flights,
Probably
wasn't she
not.
On, like, a 3-minute flight or something, a 5-minute flight?
Kylie, no, she flew from Calabasas Airport to Van Nuys. It's 15 minutes.
Yeah, the part of it I don't understand is it seems more convenient to drive. The whole process of...
Depending on what time of day you go.
Security and then getting on a plane. And
not if you're going private.
Not if you're going private.
But you don't still have, like, safety stuff or anything?
Nope. Not really.
Nope.
Really?
Not really. You drive right up,
hop
on, and
you're
ready to go.
You meet your pilot and say, let's go.
Now, I'm not... I love the environment. I'm a big fan of the environment. It's always been very good to me. I breathe in all that.
You and Mother Nature like this.
But I could really give a damn these people taking short flights. That's just me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Travel, what do you think?
But I love
you
the environment.
You have any problem with the 15-minute flight for Drake?
Yeah. Warren Buffett, I think, gets credit for this quote because he has a plane.
Yep.
And he has called it the great unjustifiable. That the cost and the pollution and everything that comes along with it, there is no
justification
for using
Interesting.
This. He also says
that's honest.
He does it a lot.
Yeah,
because it's the great unjustifiable. Yeah, look, if you are doing it because you don't want to wait in security and all this stuff and you're flying from Los Angeles to Chicago, knock yourself out. You earn the money. It's your money.
Right.
Go do your thing.
Right.
But if you're just up down from Malibu to Van Nuys, that feels a bit much.
Bring it on.
Especially,
can you get me on at Sherwood? I'll fly out there to Calabasas right now.
Is it ridiculous? Of course it's ridiculous. But, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're just targeting one thing and you could target
Correct.
A million.
It's all the cows farting. Let's face it. That's the enormous
problem. Can we kill all the cows?
Cows farting.
Seems step too far.
Right. No, but don't you think that's really, methane is like one of the big things? I mean, again, I'm the guy that loves the environment. The environment has always been very good to me.
I can't,
so I'm just sticking up and saying, don't forget about the cows.
I can't believe that I've turned into Ralph Nader on this show.
Yeah, but you really are.
Let me make a case here. Let me make a case.
By the way, here's a tweet from Julio. Whoever says they'll go back to work after winning the jackpot is full of...
Julio, I would be back.
Greg and Mace are full of it. No, you have a half a billion dollars. That's FU money.
Right. But I would just
use the platform to tell everybody FU.
Yeah, FU, right? I would need even less Fs to give.
Yeah. You know what your problem is? The height of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay, when everybody's at home.
Is this you going back to being Ralph Nader?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to finish the thought.
Got it.
Occasionally we all had a reason to be on the road, right?
Sure.
There's nobody out there. Yeah. You're A to B everywhere you went. The air was noticeably cleaner.
Glorious. Yeah, it was.
Everything was pretty nice. And that was just a year of everybody kind of chilling out on their cars. I think the cows are probably still farting the same amount.
They probably are. I feel like the
cow fart situation stayed the same, but we stopped using our cars for a few months. Seemed kind of nicer. There you go. I'm done with my Ralph Nader moment.
Wow.
You didn't think I had that environmental streak in me,
Greenpeace.
Did you? Right? What, do you want me to go whaling after the show today? Yeah, hold on. Let me get my harpoon and go knock this out.
Thanks, Al Gore. Appreciate you stopping by.
This is the first time I've been on that soapbox. It's Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I love the Mandy Awards were like Amanda and Chris's wedding.
I have several responses to Chris.
Good.
Want all of them.
What's that?
We want all of them.
Okay. Well, let me start with this.
Okay.
I deserved that.
Really?
I did. Mace, you know how we were going to do Mason and Ireland, the backstage thing? What were we going to call it? Mason and Ireland Plus.
Yes. Basically, great streaming service.
Would you not agree that basically what I did yesterday was take the stuff that you always say that the best part of the show is during the breaks.
Yes.
I took the stuff we normally say during the breaks and put it on the air.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, honestly, though, I'll tell you this much. It was actually kind of refreshing.
Well, I talked to Chris and Amanda yesterday. I apologized to Amanda. Chris was nice. He called me and he said, hey, are you okay? And basically, I wasn't. Remember when you got drunk at the remote?
Yeah, yes, I do.
How could I forget?
Actually, I don't remember it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm surprised you remember it. That was me getting a little drunk at the remote. And you know what it made me think of? It made me think of, Mace, our favorite movie, The Godfather.
Yes.
Lee Strasberg, great actor, plays
Hyman Roth.
Hyman Roth. And he beats it over. Michael says, who put the hit on so-and-so? And Hyman Roth said to him, Michael, you don't get to ask that.
Yes.
This is the business we have chosen.
Yes.
And what I said to Amanda yesterday was, I don't want to say that because I'll get in trouble. I want to say urinated on the camp bit.
Oh, you know? Yeah. You kind of were not high on the camp bit. You kind of rained on
that.
And
here's the truth. It is the business we have chosen. If Amanda wants me at these events, I'm not the guy who normally is going to complain. As a matter of fact, Bergman.
Yeah.
Your game today, right?
It is my game today.
Minus 100 for me.
Oh, look at you, minus 100.
Yeah. Minus 100 for me. And you know how much that hurts me.
It does.
I love to compete. And I'm still playing, by the way. I'm going to try and knock everyone else by getting all the questions right. But minus 100 for me for too much complaining on yesterday's Supercross talk. And it's the business we've chosen, Mace. If they tell me to go to these things, I'm going. I'm not. And I told Amanda, if I complain again, I'll walk away. I mean, this is the job. I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it. Yesterday, I complained about doing it. So minus 100 to me. Those are my thoughts.
I don't even know what to say. That is such a staggering turnaround. Good.
Yeah, but it is what it is,
it
right?
Is what
it's
it
the
is.
Business
yeah.
we have chosen.
It is.
And if they want to do, if Chris and Amanda want to do 100 events and I'm expected to be at those events, I'm either going to do them or they'll get somebody who will do them. So I'm going to try and do them.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, that's great.
That's great. We would love to have you there.
Well, let's be honest. He's been at just about everything. The only thing he missed was the softball game.
Right. No, I'm saying it's a good thing that he wants to be there and is going to be there with all of the people. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, me too.
Good for you, John.
All right. Excellent. So you ready to tell a lie today?
Yes, sir. My lie, right?
Yeah, your lie today for
Bergman's game, my lie, your wheel, is what I wrote at the top of my email today.
That is what I've got down here. It's Bergman's game, it's my wheel, all that kind of stuff. So you actually mentioned the place where I kind of want to start, which is Mike Trout has got a back thing that is unusual and can potentially be chronic. And what that means for the Angels, but more importantly, what that means for teams who are either signing guys to $400 million contracts.
Right.
Or emptying their farm system for guys, knowing that you're one injury away from the whole thing being a disaster.
And I kept thinking about how you said you would never trade Mike Trout, never trade him under any condition.
Yeah.
Well, we probably should reexamine that because after the age of 30, these contracts tend to burn you. Look at Albert Pujols.
Yeah, right.
Remember Kevin Brown signed with
sure.
the Dodgers.
Sure, yeah, 10-year deal.
And I think that you've also said in the past that you would try really hard never to give anybody a 13-year deal, particularly a pitcher.
I would definitely not give a pitcher a 13-year deal.
But you would give it to Mookie, right?
Yeah, Mookie, everyday players are different than pitchers. Pitchers can be really, really sketchy. You have a big year, you have a bad year, you have an injured year, pitchers, it's tough to make long commitments. But with hitters, with everyday players, you tend to think you're going to be mostly okay. And this one could be, it says he's dealing with a pretty rare back condition. Although he says it's manageable and plans to return this season.
Right, but now the jury's out on him.
Right, and now even if you wanted to trade Mike Trout, the other team would say, yeah, but. Like, Mike Trout is now a depressed asset, isn't he?
Yes.
He's a rare spinal condition.
You said you would never trade Mike Trout. Now, it just in one day it flipped from, now I wouldn't trade for Mike Trout because you don't
Correct.
Know what you're getting.
Yep.
And Mike's obviously a great player.
Well, the greatest player in modern baseball history.
Right. But the question is he still that guy? I mean, remember how quickly Albert Pujols fell off the,
off
the face of the earth.
Yep.
And now you wonder if that means they do more to keep Ohtani, or do they trade Ohtani? I don't. Oh, Jorge, did you put that Jim Bowden sign?
Yeah, we got it right here.
Okay, so Jim, who we love, Jim, former GM of the Nats, former GM of the Reds, Mason and I lobbied pretty hard for him to get the Dodger job, and he used to come on our show a lot. Jim says they're shopping him, and if they are, you wonder. Okay, so now you might not have Ohtani or Trout. What do you do then?
Here is Jim Bowden.
GMs that have made it very clear that they are listening to offers. So Shohei Ohtani could actually get moved by Tuesday, even though they're not looking for it. Look, The Angels are in the same boat as the Nationals. It's not a good major league team. It's not a good farm system. And Ohtani's a free agent after next year and has not shown any indication that he's willing to extend. He wants to win. He's made that clear to the Angels. He wants to win before he signed any extension. I don't see a pathway to the Angels winning between now and the time he becomes a free agent. So trading him makes sense. Now, the one team to watch on Ohtani, well, I'd say the two teams are the two New York teams. But start with the New York Mets. Why? Because their GM, Billy Epler, was the GM with the Angels when they signed Ohtani, and he was personally instrumental in landing him. He's got a very good relationship with Shohei. He has already talked to Perry Minasian about trying to get Ohtani, and I think he's going to try at the deadline, and he's going to try in the offseason, and if not, in free agency after next year. So it's going to be fascinating to see. I think it's more likely Soto gets traded than Ohtani by Tuesday, but if someone makes a ridiculous offer, and I think that'll come after a team loses out on Soto. I think that's when the absurd offer is going to come for the Angels. That, you know what, at the deadline, they might just consider Brandon.
So that's a lot of info there, but I forgot about the Billy Epler thing, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Until he said it there, I didn't realize that Billy Epler, I didn't make that connection. But, yeah, it makes sense. It's interesting. Epler's out there. DePoto is in Seattle now. You know, former Angel GMs are scattered around the league. I tell you, I disagree with Jim. I really don't. I think it's completely possible for an organization to turn itself around in 1 year. Totally
so
possible.
The part you disagree with is him saying there's no pathway for the Angels to be a winning team.
Exactly.
While Ohtani is under contract.
That is my point. That is my point. That's the part of it. Now, whether they're shopping him or not, I mean, I'll have to trust Jim on that, that they're shopping Ohtani.
Well, shouldn't you always be shopping, Mace? I mean, if like, for example, I don't see any scenario under which the Dodgers would want to trade some of these young star players, but if you get a phone call and somebody offers you the moon,
right,
you got to consider it, right?
Yeah, I think you listen to every offer. I think you got to listen to every offer. That doesn't mean you're going to take every offer or move on every offer. And I'm sure some of them are completely ridiculous and don't make any sense. But again, if I go to the Angels and I say, all right, so we're out of it this year. Next year, we've got Ohtani, we've got Trout. We're going to sign Joe Musgrove. We're going to sign Carlos Rodon. We're going to sign starting pitchers who can anchor a rotation. Turnarounds happen very, very quickly in baseball. You can go from nowhere to somewhere really fast. So, again, if I'm Perry Minasian, I guess the general manager of the Angels, I don't think I'm moving off of either guy, but this is really disturbing news about Mike Trout.
Yeah, and I think I would be more likely to hang on to Ohtani because of that news.
More likely to hang on to him or trade him?
Hang on to him. Because, like, for example, we just got a tweet. This is from DJ Trunks.
Okay.
If the Angels trade both Trout and Ohtani, I'm done. Lifelong fan, can't root for this team with this owner. I'd rather stop watching baseball. Well, DJ, they wouldn't trade Trout, but Trout could go down with this injury. And then you don't have either one of them. Which is why I think they have to hold on to Ohtani, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, you got to give the people what they're hoping to see, which is a great big star at Angels Stadium every night.
My mom's going tonight. She goes to one game a year, and tonight's the night she's going. And so I don't think Trout's going to play, so I hope Ohtani plays.
Yeah. They might not have a choice, though. I mean, Shohei holds all the cards in all this.
If he doesn't extend, like if they offer him an extension and he turns it down, then Greg, it changes the equation,
right? Which you would expect he would do in this offseason. But if he says no, you have
right, but
to
we're
move
talking
him.
About is should you trade him before Tuesday?
I mean, yeah, you can offer him you can say to him, are you going to stick around? If not,
right,
get
yeah,
rid of him.
That's Michael's thing. Find out if he's interested in staying.
Yes.
And if he's
but if
no,
they're in the playoffs next year, by the way, if they're in the playoffs next year, then there's every reason for Ohtani to stay if they're able to turn it around. And I still think you can trade him at the trade deadline. Next year or after this season.
You're not going to get as much next year as you're going to get this year.
His value goes down the longer you keep him.
If he's really good, if he's next year's Soto, if he's next year's
He would be at the end of his contract, and he is in a walk year. You don't know if you're going to keep him.
No,
so
but,
if you trade for him, you don't get him.
We made that trade for Max Scherzer because we wanted Max Scherzer.
Sure, and you got Trey Turner in it.
And we didn't get him. Yeah. And by the way, what I don't understand the Trey Turner thing. I don't understand why we're not moving on Trey Turner, but we're apparently not. He's like the number one off-season free agent for next year is Trey Turner. So I guess he's not going to be here next year, and maybe was Gavin Lux moved to short? Is that what's going on?
You can put Taylor there. They're letting Taylor go back in the infield when he comes off the injured list. I don't know if Taylor's an everyday shortstop. What do you think?
Probably not. Gavin Lux
but
is
there's
played
a lot
short,
of shortstops.
But a clunky
there's a
fielder.
Lot of shortstops that'll be available. A lot of guys that are out there and you could go get if Trey Turner turns you down.
Right.
So that's another thing. You can go into the market and go get one.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what. Coming up next. John, did you see the Russell Wilson thing that's sweeping the internet?
No.
Okay. We'll have it for you coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That's Ciara, which is perfect timing because we're going to talk about Russell Wilson. It took me a second to put it all together in my head, but I got it. Yeah.
Jorge, always working.
Smart. Jorge's out there. So, John, you know how when you're at a game and people pop on the scoreboard and they say stuff,
sure.
Like, enthusiastic stuff?
Yeah.
So somebody was rolling a camera on Russell Westbrook. Russell Wilson, when he was doing one of his psych up video things for the upcoming season. So let's listen to Russell Wilson give this a go.
Let's ride.
Broncos.
Let's ride.
Perfect. Okay. One more time. Broncos country. Let's ride.
Broncos country. Let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride. Broncos country, let's ride.
Okay, so there's Russell's. Now, this has turned into kind of a big thing that everybody is doing now. So, for example, here's JT Daniels, the West Virginia quarterback. I think.
Let's ride. Mountaineer Nation, let's ride. Mountaineer Nation, let's ride.
Okay, so here's Austin Bresler. He's a linebacker at Florida Atlantic.
One. Owls Nation, let's fly.
Just say Owl Nation.
Don't
say Owls.
Owl. Okay. We'll do it again. Owl Nation, let's fly. That's
good. One more time.
Owl Nation, let's fly.
Okay, so. The concept here, John, is how do we do it? How do we roll around here? Can we duplicate the magic of Russell Wilson?
Well, we kind of do that now. I mean, we don't have a scoreboard, obviously, but we do, we run goofy stuff all the time every day.
Right. But can you say these things? Mason in Ireland, let's ride.
Mason in Ireland, let's ride.
Jorge?
Mason in Ireland, let's ride.
Bergman?
Mason in Ireland, let's ride.
Amara, the intern in studio?
Mason in Ireland, let's ride.
Okay, there you go. So we're in business. Mason in Ireland, let's ride. Now that's creepy.
That
was very Kaplan of you.
That sounds like the guy you don't let pick up your kids on the side of the road.
Mason in Ireland, let's ride. Yeah, no, that's not good.
No, that's very
that's very creepy.
Yeah.
So
puts
you never know what's gonna turn. What did you say?
Said it puts the lotion in the basket. Creepy.
Put the lotion in the basket. When you help me with my couch, put it in the van. Use your help. I've broken arm.
Let's ride.
Yeah, do that voice and say, let's ride.
Made in Ireland. Let's ride.
Is that cool?
Well, that's the Silence of the Lambs guy, right? That's Jamie Gumm or Buffalo Bill or whatever that is. That's who that is. Unfortunately, some of that was captured on video.
No, all of it was.
The whole thing.
The entire thing was captured. Oh, fantastic news. Fantastic news. Yeah, no, the Silence of the Lambs guy. I think that's one of the most, you know, if you think about it now, and Jodie Foster won Best Actress and Anthony Hopkins won Best Actor, won Best Director, Best Picture. Shouldn't the guy that played Buffalo Bill have won Best Supporting Actor? That's like the one of the most, I mean, I remember that performance. It's such a creepy, unbelievable performance.
Yeah, he's not in it enough to win Best Supporting Actor, right?
Wait a minute. There are people that have been in movies for like 8 minutes and won Best whatever it is, Supporting Actor
or
whatever.
What's like an example of that?
Okay, let me go. The movie was Elizabeth. The actress was Judi Dench, and the performance was like 7 minutes long.
Well,
somebody check me on that.
Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross
steals the show.
Jorge did should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actor, but he's only in it for that one scene.
Don't you think, in retrospect, a guy like Bill Murray should have won for? I can't think of another performance from that year as memorable as Bill Murray in Caddyshack.
Except that's not an Oscar movie.
Yeah, that's the problem, is they think, oh, Oscar movie, they're awesome.
Like,
serious.
Did you ever see the original About Last Night with Rob Lowe?
Yeah, Rob Lowe and
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore, yeah.
Elizabeth Perkins. Jim Belushi steals that
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, he was great in that.
But it's not an Oscar movie. You know, so that's why you wouldn't get.
Yeah, if the Oscars would stop recognizing these little quirky, tiny movies that people
right.
don't ever see. I mean, let's go. Let's put some titles in there. Let's put some movies in there that people have actually seen.
Let's ride.
Let's ride. Mason Ireland. Let's ride.
I like that one.
Dog.
Dog. Oh, is that the kid with the speech?
He's dog.
It's all dog.
Let's
Mason,
ride.
Mason,
dog.
He's a dog. Jorge, he's a dog. Bergman, he's here.
Dog.
All right, coming up next for you is Wheel of Questions. Going to spin the wheel, see what comes up. It is my wheel today. I've got interesting stuff on there. We will do that. Plus, Jeannie Buss defending her leadership style. Did you see this, John?
No.
We'll do this coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, my wheel today. Let's see. Oh, look what came up.
Oh.
Jorge.
Like that one.
All right. John, when, if, crap, here we go.
Play the wheel again.
Play the wheel again. I got to see. I don't like that question. Okay. Every day, 12 new things arrive in your house, all of which begin with a letter you choose. Which letter would you pick?
That was really fast. Say that again.
Okay.
Every day, 12 new things arrive in your house, all begin with the letter you choose. Which letter would you pick?
I think that, well, because I would have to put Lisa into this equation, I think I would pick the letter T.
T, okay.
Okay, because you can get a lot of toiletries
yep.
with the letter T, you know, stuff like, you know, toilet paper and towels and stuff like that. I drink a lot of iced tea.
Oh,
so I
sure.
get that.
Sure.
I like tequila, so I could get that.
Right.
Lisa needs to order a lot of tennis stuff, so like tennis balls and tennis rackets and stuff like that. So I think I would probably lean towards T.
T. All right. Bergman?
I think I would go with the letter P.
Okay, because
like a pool and play.
Wait a minute, yeah.
You get a pool.
You're gonna have Amazon deliver you a pool.
Yeah, a pool. You know, it can be above ground pool. Amazon?
One of those inflatable
it could be a pool table. It doesn't have to be just a pool table, a pool outside. It could be a pool table.
Do you have either a pool or a pool table now?
There's a lot of things that start with letter P.
Yeah, like including a Peloton. Everything.
Yeah. By the way, you want to buy my Peloton, Mace?
You know, now that I found out I can buy a real one for just $1,300.
Oh, no, this is real.
Yeah, I know, but yours is really expensive. I can buy one off the rack for $1,200. I'm not paying more for that.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Explain to me your logic.
My logic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of thinking you can get almost $1,600 for your used Peloton when Mason could buy a brand new one for $1,300 and change.
Ease. I already have it. It's just easier to get over to his house.
Yeah, who is going to ride it over to his house?
Jorge already had offered. I just got to give him some money.
But then, yeah, but
it's a terrible. Man, you didn't even give me the $20 of the numbers yesterday.
I know. I owe the $20.
We got $80 worth of tickets riding on the $1.2 billion tonight.
Jorge, did you buy the tickets?
I did. Yes.
Okay.
And $100 worth. Did you buy for Bergman?
Well, I had to get him his $20, but
yeah, we still need to get his money. Sure,
yeah. I'll Venmo you.
Yeah,
right
Venmo
now.
That right yeah. now, man.
I don't have Venmo.
You got the mail.
Okay, letter of stuff that gets delivered to your house, Jorge.
Jeez, John took the good one, the tea with the tequila. I'll take the beer, you know, bread. Bologna.
Come to my
bologna.
House.
He's getting bologna.
Order a lot of bologna, do you?
I would go D. That allows me donuts, delivery in a general sense, dogs, doobies. I can make that D work a lot of different ways. So that's dope. Dumbass.
By the way, P pizza.
P pizza. Oh, that's a good one. P pizza.
Lots of that.
Should have thought of that when you brought it up.
Pistachio.
Pasta.
Pistachio. Pasta. Yeah, pasta, P gets pasta.
See, P is a great letter.
That's a good
potatoes.
One. Potatoes. Boring. All right, John, let me do this story. So this story came across. This is, let's see, who wrote this? I want to make sure I get this right. Let's ride. Mark Medina of NBA.com.
I know Mark.
Okay, so Mark, the Lakers have been criticized, and Jeannie Buss in particular, in recent years for having too many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to basketball decision-making. But she talked to Mark Medina of NBA.com, and here's what she said. My style of leadership is to collaborate and to listen. I'm not a my way or the highway person. I think it's important to have good people and let them have a voice. Ultimately, I'm the controlling owner. That is what the NBA has, this designation for those accountable for all decisions in basketball. And that's me. Ultimately, I am accountable for it. It's my leadership. It's my style of leadership to be collaborative. She says, my dad used to have me repeat, what do they say about absolute power? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. He used to tell me that all the time. This isn't a dictatorship. This isn't about my view. I get to hear every voice. Ultimately, I do what's best for the Lakers organization. Certainly, you are judged by your wins and losses when you're talking about basketball. Since I made the change with my brother, ultimately, the basketball operations is in my control. It's the position I've been in for the last six seasons now. That's what I look at. What do you make of what Jeannie Buss said about her leadership style?
So one of my many jobs that I've had over the years since I've been in L.A. is a friend of mine became the publisher of L.A. Times magazine.
Yeah, sure.
It's a magazine that doesn't exist anymore.
Yep.
But my friend Nancy Clare was the editor, and she called me one day and she goes, hey, I need somebody to write sports articles. It won't be a lot. I need you to do like three or four a year. Would you do it? And I said, sure. And one of the articles, before I was actually working for the team, one of the articles was about Dr. Buss was getting close to retiring. He was at the end of his life. And they sent me out to do a profile on all of the Buss kids, the six Buss kids that would be inheriting the franchise once Jerry was gone. And one of the questions I asked each kid, including Jeannie, was, what's the best piece of advice you've ever gotten from your dad?
Hmm.
And Jeannie's was the same as a couple, as Joey's, as a couple other ones. And I asked Dr. Buss, I said, okay, I asked your kids that question. What do you think they said? And he said, what I hope they said is hire really good people and get the hell out of the way.
Right.
And that's exactly what Jeannie said. I said, what's the number one thing you learned from your dad? She said, hire the right people and get out of the way. Provide them with what they need to do the job, but don't micromanage.
Right.
And so I think that's an extension of what Dr. Buss was talking about, that Jeannie takes ownership of the fact that she's at the top of the chain.
Right.
But she's not interfering with people that she's hired to do their job.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah, totally makes sense. And by the way, and I think working collaboratively is a very, very solid approach. You know, you take this place. I mean, you never know who's going to have the big idea that takes off and turns into something around 710. It's a very collaborative place. In the case of, look at the Dodgers. I mean, they've got assistant general managers and scouts and all those people are in the room. Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman all get in the room. It's a collaborative situation. The question is not so much the style of management, but, and we're going to know as the season gets going here, are they the right people in the room? We're going to find out on the floor this year, are they the right people in the room? I have no issue with the management style, but the results have got to be there.
Right, and I think one of Jeannie's hardest decisions is how patient can you be? You know,
Not at all.
They missed the playoffs last year. So if they miss them, well, no, let me give you an example. If they miss them again this year, I don't think she changes the coach again.
I don't think she changes the coach. I would hope she changes the general manager. I hope she changes the voices in the room if they miss the playoffs again. They got LeBron James at the tail end of his window. You got to win right now. This is a team that is meant to be successful in 2022-2023, and you don't know what's going to happen after that. So you've got a narrow. You have to acknowledge that it's a narrow window they have to be. Is that the right phrase? Narrow window. The window's still open, but it's not open a lot, right? Because you're at the tail end of LeBron's career. That means you've got to get it right now for this season.
Right, but they're limited in what they can do.
Well, that's their own issue. I mean, they're limited in what they could. They made the Russell Westbrook trade. You've got to put a winner on the floor this year. You've got, or the voices in the room need to change.
Well, I mean, Jeannie's shown in her past that she's not afraid to make hard decisions. I mean, she fired Mitch Kupchak after he'd been there for 30 years.
Pulled the plug on her brother just like that.
Right,
bam.
On the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she's aware of what the stakes are.
Yes.
And we just got to wait to see it play. Hey, do we have a couple minutes here?
Yeah, sure.
Greg, there's a guy who says he's on hold.
Yeah, I answered every phone call while you guys were just talking and nobody responded.
No. The physiotherapist is not online?
He was not there when I answered the phone. I saw the note, too. I answered every phone call.
What was the physiotherapist supposed to do?
He said he has a take on Trout's injury that will shed a lot of light.
Oh, well, shoot.
Then he hung up.
Physiotherapist guy. We could have used you. It's a rare condition that Mike Trout's got.
Yeah, call back if you're still listening.
Yeah.
I think, though, that nobody likes to be patient, but there's a game of chicken going on in the NBA with – do you think Kevin Durant's getting traded?
No, I think he's getting the Aaron Rodgers treatment. I've never been a big believer that just because a player says he wants to be traded, he should be traded. Yeah, this was more of a Michael Thompson thing. If you don't want to be here, we don't want you here. No,
right.
That's not the way it works anymore. Owners have reasserted their control. Aaron Rodgers still in Green Bay. Kevin Durant still in Brooklyn. Deebo Samuel still in San Francisco. You can ask for a trade, but the owner doesn't have to give it to you.
Right, and that's what I think is going on with Durant. Now,
yes.
Do you think Kyrie gets traded?
I think you've got to go to Kevin Durant and say, do you want to play with Kyrie?
Right, and what does he say?
Well, what do I think Kevin Durant thinks about playing with Kyrie?
Yeah.
There are reports that there was internal conflict, and Kevin Durant has a quote out there that's saying, if you want to know, if you were in that locker room, you know what was going on. And indicated that there was conflict there.
Correct. And so it sounds like
Durant's still there and Kyrie could be on the move.
And if that's true, if we're reading the tea leaves right, I think that's what the Lakers are waiting for. I think that, you know, there's just a lot of – Rob has said a couple of times, we're not done.
Yeah.
And I think what he's waiting for is for the Nets to make a move.
Uh-huh.
And if we're right and they take – they keep Durant and trade Kyrie, the Lakers want to be in on at least those discussions.
Sure.
That's my read on it. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
But that's why I think they're waiting. And then we'll have better answers as to what they're doing moving forward.
All right, real quick, Matt has called in from Highland Park. He's a physiotherapist with some insight on the Mike Trout injury. Thank you, Dr. Matt. Nice to meet you.
Thank you for the doctor accreditation. How's it going, fellas?
Everything is
good. All
right,
so explain this Mike Trout thing. What's he got?
Okay, so I never observed the injury, but I have observed a lot of the reports, and the reason why a lot of physicians believe it's rare is because it's not something they can operate on. It's called a costovertebral injury, which is a joint between the ribs and the spine, basically. And the reason why it's so detrimental to a person like Mike Trout is baseball players are what we call rotational athletes. Mm-hmm. So their entire sport, both throwing and hitting, is based on their ability to rotate their trunk.
Yep.
And the spine and the ribs are absolutely critical in this situation. So if you've read the reports, you know that Mike Trout has reported multiple times that he is not concerned, and he is, those should be validated. The reason why the surgeons and the spine doctors are very concerned is because there's no type of operation for this. So it is purely something that can be treated from physical therapy.
Matt, can it heal? Is it possible to heal it on its own with, like, with treatment? Okay.
And in my opinion, professionally, it can be healed pretty quickly.
Okay.
I would assume that the Angels are going to be very cautious of it because the Angels are not good at baseball right now.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
Right. Well, Matt, that's helpful.
Thank you, Dr. Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Mace, you know, they remember when you had your neck thing?
Yeah, sure. I had a disc fusion.
Yeah, I read the words that you want to be that get your antenna up. Dr. Robert Watkins has apparently weighed in on Trout. Like, they've gone to see him.
Oh, okay.
And that's
so that's big time.
Well, that's who you go to when you're out of all the other options.
Right. Hey, by the way, did we give Dr. Matt like a can with a piece of string and it ran all the way to the station?
Yeah,
that's why
that
he sounded like that?
Phone.
No,
is
no,
that
no,
what's
it's
going
it's
on,
it's
Bourbon?
It's
you're the producer and your management, and we got these.
If you stop talking for a second,
glitchy,
I will let you know
calls.
That we are having problems with the phone lines, and it's something that we already know about, and I've already reached back out to the engineer to try and get it fixed. So we're not going to be taking any calls for a little while until we get it fixed.
Oh,
so in other words, Greg, it would be a typical Bergman show.
Just another day at the office.
Yeah.
I never care when we take calls.
Yeah.
We have engineers.
Yes.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we've moved up in the world. Okay. So, hey, don't forget, Ireland's going to lie today.
And that's me bringing my hard hat. That's the engineer.
Oh, okay. That's what it is, Jorge.
I feel better about things now.
Yeah. The Soccer Champions Tour features 5 iconic clubs from around the world, including Real Madrid, Juventus, Barcelona, Chivas Guadalajara, and Club America. And this week, we're giving you a chance to see Real Madrid versus Juventus on Saturday, July 30th at the Rose Bowl. That's this Saturday. Listen to the entire show for John Ireland's Lie. If you figure it out, you win those tickets. And visit SoccerChampionsTour.com. That's SoccerChampionsTour.com to get your tickets today. Coming up next, Kyler Murray has finally responded to the homework clause in his contract. He did that a little bit earlier today. We got his reaction. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.